the Pittsburgh Steelers with home field advantage.
Hold on. Give us your record.
Give us your record. 13-3
Shush.
Is the final record.
We didn't think you could go that. Come on.
13-3 Coach Tomlin's bugaboo.
Hank and I had 12-4
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to a new year. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program. It happened. Impossible dream? Hardly. When Dave Dameshek tells you what the Steelers' record's going to be before the season kicks off, you should be listening. You shouldn't be doubting. You heard Matt Money Smith. You heard Cindy Freeland. You heard Handsome Hank. All now red in the face, Dameshek. Up on cloud nine, I can barely make it out because I did it again for the sixth straight year. I told you what the Steelers' final record was going to be. And so it came to pass. Like Landry Jones against the Cleveland Browns in Heinz Field, I have done it. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program. And like I say, to a whole new year, but we can worry about the year in general. Right now, we have to focus in on the most important kind of football, playoff football. Seated to my immediate left to help us do that, a guy who's not just one team. He's got a couple of teams in the dance here. 2 out of 12, a fascinating Super Bowl that he has predicted already, Rams v. Jaguars. Why? Because he is the radio voice of the Rams and, of course, a longtime Jacksonville Jaguar in the conversation for the greatest player in that franchise's history, as a matter of fact. Much to get to, but let's start off by saying hello to our pal and Happy New Year to Maurice Jones-Drew.
Straight out of Oakland, that's where he's born and grown. Drafted by the Jaguar, addicted to the inside.
Enough! You're addicted to the end zone. Is Blake Bortles too hooked on throwing picks and pick sixes, though, for the Jaguars to be relevant in January 2018? Maurice Jones-Drew, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Jake.
Yeah. Well, do you want to say something to me?
Happy New Year.
Oh, but say something else about what we were talking about a couple minutes ago there.
Oh, about you picking the record?
Yeah, what about that? Six times in a row. Where's my parade already? I thought there would be the rose floats and a marching band and I don't know what else. People flipping batons around.
You talk to Steeler Nation then.
Steeler Nation, nothing. I mean, listen,
talk to me. I'm not Steeler Nation.
So it has nothing to do with
the Jaguars and the Ramley.
All right. Well, guess what? I also said the Philadelphia Eagles. Not like it's only about the Steelers. I said the Eagles were going to win the division. You're welcome for that prediction.
I said the Chiefs were going to win the division.
All right. Well, that's not as savvy.
I said the Chiefs were going to beat the Patriots week one.
That is your best prediction of 2017. That was pretty good stuff.
No, I got one much. I said Mercedes Lewis was going to destroy Baltimore in London, and I said he's going to score 3 touchdowns.
You did? You said he's going to score 3 touchdowns in that game, and you got that right. Not as good as predicting the Steelers' record 6 straight seasons, but still noteworthy.
Well, I guess you have consistency.
I mean, I can't believe how mild your
No, actually, I'm ecstatic.
That's remarkable what I did. That's remarkable.
I'm ecstatic for you. That's phenomenal.
I want my parade.
You know what I want though?
What?
And I'm gonna go back to it. Eddie Spaghetti, I still want my trophy for winning Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's fair. You know
if
what?
If he gets a parade, that was four months ago I won that thing.
Here's the things we have to talk about. Of course, we have to figure out what's going on with the wild card. We have to figure out who's going to the Super Bowl. We keep talking about that. I have a fascinating list of possible matchups we could see here. Of course, it is, as we record here, the head coaches. I think we're through it all, right? With the exception, we don't know at the time of this recording that Marvin Lewis is 100% back, which seems crazy. And by the way,
can I tell you my theory on that?
I'd like to hear it. It is crazy, the guys who have kept their jobs and the guys who lost their jobs. This is a little bit stranger than most seasons as far as I'm concerned. Hugh Jackson wins one game in 2 years.
Marvin Lewis is waiting for either Hugh Jackson, Jay Gruden, one of his assistants who can coach that team the way they want it, the Brown family know and trust. I think they're waiting for that to happen. So they thought Hugh probably was going to get fired this year, and that's where the rumors came out, and then Hugh stays. Right? Now it's also like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because you can't just bring anybody from outside in to coach this team. This team is built for people that have been around these type of players. You have the Vontaze Burfict and the Pac-Man Joneses, guys that have had some off-the-field issues who are great players. You have to be able to...
Vontaze, as good as he is, that would be one of the first things I would have to address if I took that over. Well, listen, are we really sticking with this
and
again?
So, and that's why you have to have a guy who's been in this system, been in this organization.
Yeah, but it hasn't worked out with Marv overseeing the Vontaze Burfict Bengals.
You know what somebody told me?
That's why you have to change the culture.
You know what someone told me?
It's not successful to continue to say, well, Vontaze Burfict, when he's there, defense is awfully tough.
That's the owner. That's what the owner wants.
All right, that's a bad idea.
Marvin Lewis is 0-7 in the playoffs. And then I said, he made them, though, because there's a lot of people who are 0-0 in the playoffs because they never made them. There's a lot of teams like that.
That is unacceptable.
That's fine. Like, that's okay. Like, he's made the dance. It's all that matters. He's been in the dance.
That is not all that matters. That sounds like something until you think about it for a second. Is that enough? Is that good enough?
I know a lot of coaches who've never been in the dance.
Oh, stop it. 0-7 in 15 years is not an acceptable. That's not something to wave the flag.
You're just hanging on your high horse right now because Pittsburgh has been going the last couple of years. But there was a point in time when Pittsburgh wasn't that good. And I bet you the old Sheck wasn't picking the record, and old Sheck wasn't around here smiling either.
First of all, I'm not smiling about anything. You're
smiling right now.
All right, I'm smiling, but I want to tell you something. First of all, you mentioned that I root for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fine, you know what? Come on back, Marv. I hope you stick around.
He's going to come back.
Good.
Because they're going to wait until either Jay Gruden gets fired or Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson, you stick around in Cleveland. That's good news as well from where I sit. Now, we can do the deep dive on – oh, look who it is. Here she comes. Happy New Year.
A Philly girl from the very start. You know Rocky Balboa and the Museum of Art. Coast to coast living with the number one guy. Yeah. Still repping her teams, though. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Enough. That was a good line to go out on. Fly, Eagles, fly. Happy New Year.
Are they flying?
They're not. They're crashing, actually.
The host of
everything.
Good Morning Football, the weekend edition of Power Ranking. She's on another podcast of some note around these parts periodically coming at you.
Around here is absurd. Also, I love that we're all wearing black.
It's the Wolf. Colleen Wolf. How are we, the Wolf?
Great. You know.
Are you great?
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
What?
Yay!
You didn't know that.
I'm great.
I was told not to say anything.
Really?
Last week.
Because once you get to a certain age.
I'm 33.
What?
I'm breaking all the rules.
You're 33?
I don't care. Yeah, it's my Jesus year.
What?
Wait a second. You're literally 33 years of age?
Yeah.
That's all you are?
Yeah.
33.
You're a jerk.
Not, I don't mean it because of the way you look. I just can't buy. That's hard for me to fathom.
The youngsters.
That people are that young.
Woo-woo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 33.
85. You're born 85. Stop it, Colin.
So accomplished. I can't believe it. 33.
Thank you.
That was the last year they made real people.
85?
Yeah, because that's when I was born.
That's a good year.
That's your point of reference? That's your touchstone is real people?
Like people that are real. Not all these fake ones out here.
Boy, that was some show.
There's a lot.
Hey, by the way, before we go on for another moment there, Philadelphia, young woman, so on and so forth. The biggest news of the holiday year. Well, I hope you heard the Shecky Awards. They were gangbusters. Go back and listen to those. The person primarily responsible for putting those together was one who we call the MVP, nay, the MVP, and now she wears a ring on her finger.
So
MVP, what? You got engaged.
I did.
Oh, my God, congratulations.
Thanks,
whoa,
Colleen.
I can see it from here, like, listening. Hey now.
Hey now. Love. That's love.
That's love.
Are you ready?
Was that expensive?
I'm ready.
Was that expensive?
He's still paying for it.
You don't know. You didn't ask. Is that putting you out?
He's still paying for it.
Oh, my God.
Old man.
You know what I did? This is going to sound bad, but it is part of the
deal. This is great.
So when I was going to ask my wife to marry me, it feels like you have a hole in your pocket, right? And so I was like, man, like I got to get this off. I got to get this ring off me.
Because you were carrying around $600-$700 worth of jewelry in your pocket.
A little bit more than that. But, but what happened was I lost it.
No way.
I left it on this bus. It fell out of my pocket. And that's what I was feeling. I was like,
no.
Is there a hole? Like, literally, there was a hole in my pocket, and it fell out. And I had to go back on this bus and like.
No. Search the whole bus. Ew,
I found it too. It was great.
Oh, I thought I had a happy ending.
Freaking out.
I thought I was gonna have to go like to
Kyle Brady or
25 cents.
Josh Scobie suddenly, hey, like, hey, I got your ring, hun.
Oh my God.
It was scary. But good. Anyways, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this, Emma?
I'm ready for it, MJD.
You sure? There's a lot of you guys live together yet?
We don't yet.
Have you smelled his morning breath yet?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Did he?
We have lived together. He lives in Philly now.
Was it? Were you at like a hockey game or something? And then
yeah, it was
like,
on
hey,
the jumbotron.
Look up at the scoreboard, and then all of a sudden it was like, what?
Really? Is that what it was?
You guessed it. No.
Oh, okay.
No.
What happened? Tell us how it went. I just want
to
know.
We were on a little weekend getaway trip to a nice little town in New York.
A getaway from what? You were on vacation. What do you mean?
It was a vacation from vacation that I had already planned.
I love that double vacation.
Okay, double yes. up.
And what then, kind of life is this that so people are
was
leading?
It, was this
their
at
vacation
night? Was it at
life
dinner?
Of luxury.
It was during the day. It was freezing.
Were you guys walking?
We were walking. We were walking to the river.
I bet his heart was.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Probably could see his heart beating through his chest. And then go ahead. Keep going. I'm excited.
You know, we went on this frigid little walk to the river. It was beautiful. And all of a sudden, he got down on one knee.
Aww.
There were some tears.
Did you, like,
from him?
Did you do this?
From him? From me?
He wept?
That is
No. If he cried, then end it now. You can't.
That's adorable.
I hope
you
it froze on his cheek. So it
somebody, no, somebody.
He had
has
a frozen
be,
tear of shame on his
crying.
Cheek.
We can't be crying in this thing. We both can't be crying.
What's he weeping
about? Did John cry?
No, John kept being like, "I've got your ring. It's in the drawer over there. If you want to see it, I'm
that's
like,
how
jerk.
You
jerk. Like,
that's how you
to
go
surprise
out.
Surprise me.
That's how you do.
And he'd be like, "I have it in my bag right now. It might
I think
happen.
There's maybe a happy medium there. So wait a second. He begins weeping and on one knee. At that point, did you think, wait a second,
I
he
wept
might be proposing?
He wept.
So you,
I thought he might be proposing when he got down on one knee. That
Aww.
Was a bit of an indicator.
Did he say something nice?
He did.
What he had something. He had something special to say to you.
Did he read it, or was it just off the top?
Off the top.
Well, tell us what he said.
No. I'm lucky to call you my best friend. Did he call you a best friend when he was down?
Like, I don't like when people say that.
I don't like that either. I don't like when people get into this. I'm lucky enough to be proposed. You're my best friend. You're my lover. I don't like when people invoke it in wedding. Reception speeches too, when they're saying like, to marry, I'm so excited to be marrying my best friend, my confidant.
Because most of the time they weren't
my
friends.
Lover. Don't talk about that. They're my grandparents.
This is
my
thing,
yeah.
This
you
is
don't
the
need
thing.
To hear about what
a
goes
lot of
on.
That's a lie because most of the time you guys weren't friends before you started dating. See, with me, I was actually like best friends with my wife
you
before
were
we started
good
dating.
Friends before we started dating.
So there you go.
That's
so
how John and I were too. Yeah.
No. You were. You guys
we were
working
friends,
in the locker room.
But we were friends. We were hanging out because we were both in another relationship at the time.
Oh,
so
wow. Guys were both double home wrecker.
We were friends before.
Double home wreckers. I love it.
Colleen was dating Wilbert Montgomery for a few years. No? Oh, no, I might be wrong. I don't
Who's know. Wilbert Montgomery?
Wilbert Montgomery, number 31, the great Philadelphia Eagles running back. Took him to the Super Bowl back in 80.
Yeah.
I never knew they went to the Super Bowl.
What?
I'm serious. I wasn't born in
they
80,
won
so
a
I don't
championship
know.
In 19.
But they also played the Yeah. All right. Anyway. Well that's
congratulations.
Exciting news,
Emma
that's BP.
Awesome.
Thank you guys.
Do you have any advice for her, Maurice?
Oh, I do. First things first, have your own friends. Mm-hmm. You gotta have your own friends. Am I right, Colleen?
Always. You guys have to have your separate lives and then your life together.
Yeah, don't make a thing of like, well, now that we're getting hitched,
right.
All of my friends, he has to be comfortable with them. You can't impose your friends on him or vice versa.
He has to really dislike one of your friends really bad so he could talk trash about her.
Yes, and you then, can't come down to him. I don't appreciate you saying
you can,
that
you can just be like, well, that's
about
my
Susie.
Friend.
I don't like when you talk right? bad about Susie. She's a
Am
dear
I right,
friend
though?
To me. She's been there for
so.
Me through some hard
There's
times.
Not, John doesn't right. have a friend of yours that, like, my wife hates one of my friends. And I'm like, good. Like,
really?
That's cool. I'm about to go hang out with dude right now.
Like, good. Well, yeah, because you weren't invited anyway.
Yeah.
The premise that I don't understand when married couples or couples of any kind, the assumption that, well, that you have to, that I'm expected to tag along with you and your friends. When the
yeah, no.
I don't ask you. I mean, no offense, but. Yeah, I don't care if you like that person because I don't intend to put right. you guys together very
often. I tell people all the time, like when you first get married, it's like the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
And everyone, you always want to be around each other. That's going to wear off quick. Mm. That's going to get just like that. Boom. And then it's going to come a point in time where life hits you.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're going to need your space. He's going to need his space. And you're going to have to, like, you know, my space is video games. That's where I get my time over here. I get on the sticks a little bit. I give me my time. I need me some me time. The same thing. My wife, her me time. She gets to have her me time when she wants it. And then we go forward. And then it makes our relationship better. And then, you know, the cross-country thing works, too, a lot because.
I did it.
Yes.
Multiple. I'm doing it sort of now.
Right. Because when you guys see each other, it's like being on that honeymoon again every time. And it's nice. And, you know, it kind of just keeps you going.
And also, like, learn how to fight. Nice. Like, learning how to fight and disagree with the person that you're with is so important because
learn how to argue.
Yeah. That's because before I was with John, I was always like, people would push me to the edge and I would just go flying. And now I've learned to like really like rein it in and just walk away and then just like let things cool down because that's not in my nature usually.
I go right away. When your husband proposed to you, did you weep?
I think so.
What are you talking about? Saying the ring's in the drawer?
Oh, well, no. He did that for like 5 months before he finally proposed to me. And I'm like, I don't want to know. And he'd be like, I have it in my pocket right now.
Did he call you his best friend?
He always does. I know you're not into that. I mean, he is my best friend, though. Like, I like hanging out with him more than I like hanging out with anybody else.
Oh, that hurts my feelings.
Sitting in the room with two nice people, right next to the kid. Neither would have used my.
But
best
I do
friend.
Understand that, like, there are times your relationship grows into something bigger, and you can tell your significant other, your partner, you know, like things that you can feel comfortable with. And when that time comes, because you're always going to be guarded in the very beginning. I feel like you're always like, I don't know. Like, yeah, we're dating. We're married. It's cool.
Yeah.
Then it's like something has to happen. Like, you have to have a baby. And then you have to see him, like, literally cry for the first time as he holds his newborn. Then you're like, oh, okay, now I can fool with you.
It's interesting you bring that up.
A big spot, yeah.
So, obviously, the man who proposed to you, MVP, is willing to raise your two little ones as his own.
Yep. We worked that out.
That's nice.
There you have it.
That's a good guy.
Great guy. Phenomenal guy.
Yep.
Eddie Spaghetti. Behind the Glass, Shecky Award winner. Congratulations. Thanks. I don't know if you heard about the impossible dream coming true there, Maurice. He won the Shecky Award over sideline reporter Savvy and India. I didn't see that one coming.
Whoa.
I didn't think there was any chance of that.
I don't even know who Savvy and India are.
Do you know you won a Shecky Award?
No one told me. I didn't get a hit on Twitter or anything.
I know. MVP's off on her vacation. Her vacation from her vacation to alert you of the fact that you won a Shecky Award.
What award did I win?
My favorite radio analyst.
Oh my God! So can I say my thank you?
Yeah. Do you have your speech ready?
Oh, it's always ready.
Okay,
I've prepared for this for a long time. First and foremost, I'd like to thank all the little people that make this happen. And that's not including Sheck, because Sheck's not little. Thank you, Sheck, for putting me in the situation to come out here and showcase my abilities. I'd like to thank the Rams. I'd like to thank
SiriusXM. Sure,
they gave me the job.
Put you in the position to
I'd like to thank Jory Hirsch, my boss there, coolest boss in the world. Thank you, Jory. Phenomenal. I'd like to thank J.B. Long and DeMarco Farr for building me up, because I was trash when I first got there. Hot trash.
No.
But they built me up. Oh, yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. Amanda Brown. Julio Morataya, you know, the whole production, Dodie Rahman, all my people there.
You have prepared this.
I know some of those people.
Yeah, I know you really do. I know you do. I'd like to also thank my mom and dad.
Because
it wasn't for
them,
this voice that you hear now.
Is she your best friend?
Oh, yeah. I talk to my mom every day. Same with my wife. And then I always like to thank my three kids. Because when I had to practice
the kids
on being the color analyst for the Los Angeles Rams, we played video games together, and they were my J.B. Long.
No
and
way.
My announcer, and I was the one giving color, so it was fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know what? I don't want to tell tales out of school, but I can tell you that a very prominent analyst in the broadcast booth prepared in that exact same way. On Madden. It's a fascinating idea. Yeah. The Wolf, you also were nominated, but you did not win.
Ooh. Wait, what was the category?
Our favorite non-football playing guests. You and Gonzo were nominated as a pair.
Well, who won?
Will Brinson.
Who's that?
Whatever, Will.
Who's Will Brinson?
CBS
Fine.
Sports.
He's a fun guy to hang out with on the road.
He
like,
is
in terms
fun.
Of, like,
is he your best friend?
He's not my best friend.
No.
No,
not anymore.
That's
definitely
John.
Not anymore.
Yeah, now that he beat me, forget it.
Spaghetti, has your life changed? You didn't get engaged over the holiday.
No,
right?
No, I did not.
No.
He wasn't proposing to Emma.
Be careful the way you
to
say
MVP.
That.
I am not.
Be
not,
careful the way you say that, because she could be listening.
No, what if
she probably will.
No way.
No, not me.
No, she knows. We got
shame the devil.
We have ways to go, so it's
a ways
oh,
to go.
No.
How long have you been together there, Spaghetti?
4 years.
4 years. I've got a ways to go.
How much longer are you going to go?
Emma's going on 8, so it's like...
Oh, okay. Yeah. So by that standard, so, right, she's just bought you another
wow.
4 years.
John and I were together for 5 months before we got engaged.
See, I don't understand.
My
you said
parents
he's had
were
the
like, what's going on here? Are you pregnant?
So when did he buy you the ring? If he had it in a drawer for 5 months.
After 2 months, things escalated really quickly. But we've been together for 8 years.
What the hell was going on? You were 20. You're like 23?
We knew. When you know, you know. Right. We were like, let's just
you
do this.
You were 23 years old?
A lot of,
no, I think I was
25. You're in the middle.
A lot of cautionary stories out here for
you're
you.
You're prime.
Yeah, I know.
I hope my wife doesn't see this because we were together for like.
Kind of behavior. Spaghetti.
I dated my wife. We've been doing the little kid dating at first, like the little 8-year old thing.
Oh, that's so cute.
Friends. Then we started dating in high school, and then I didn't get married. I want to say we must have been dating for like 12 years before I got married. She had 3 kids. Still wasn't ready. I was like, what's the difference? We're already married.
It's like, yeah, it's different for everybody, though. Like,
John ruined it for everybody.
5 months.
5 months. Jesus Christ.
And neither
John's
one of us ever down. Wanted to get married. We were like, yeah, that's marriage is not for us. And then we were like, oh, we should just do it.
Yeah, you're best
where'd
friend.
You guys go? Did you guys go to the courthouse?
No, we ended up having like a wedding.
No, then y'all.
I can't see the wolf in like the full bride regalia.
I bet you.
I did it, and my dress split.
Did you
at my wedding? Because I ate too much.
You're such a liar.
I swear to God.
Who's your maid of honor?
My sister.
True or false? You had at least one can of beer at your wedding.
Yeah,
a can of beer.
I have a picture of a Miller Lite. Me and a Miller Lite in a dress.
I knew
that's unbelievable.
She's a keeper, Gonzo.
Did they read 1 Corinthians?
I think they did. It was a full mass. It was long.
Oh, I hate that.
I know. Now I was, I'm like,
so, I don't know what that means.
Hold on.
It doesn't sound good.
Let me tell you. So
really long.
I told my apostle, like, we could do it, whatever you want. I was like, the only thing, I had two requests, and you're going to love the second one. The first one, we got to get out of there quick.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be standing up there. I'm not into all that. Like, yeah, I do.
You're standing. You're kneeling.
Yeah,
there's
all
no
that,
point. I'm with you 100% on that.
Yeah, but then the second one is we had to have Dan's band at the wedding.
Oh, did you really? You had the Dan band.
The Dan band came
what?
To the wedding, and it was the best time ever. Literally, they performed every song they had. I interrupted half their songs, like, just play Candy Shop. He's like, just let me do what I got to do. I'm like, I'm sorry, bro. But
good music is one of the most important things at a wedding.
Live music.
And ample food.
All right, we have a lot of planning to do for MVP's nuptials here and not for Spaghetti's.
Right.
Spaghetti's going to be having different kinds
ways
of parties.
To go.
Ways
I'm
to
not
go.
Getting married parties for
oh,
Spaghetti.
Oh, no, not me.
28th.
Oh, no, not me.
I hope everybody had a happy holidays. I know Spaghetti watched his Rangers play outside against the Buffalo Sabres on
so
January
fun.
1. But did you watch the Rose Bowl, the Wolf? Did you catch
I did.
What people are calling an all-time great game?
One of the greatest.
Was
yes.
it one of the
that's
better college football
games? That's every year.
Double
though.
Overtime Rose Bowl?
Come on, Maurice. Don't be a cynic.
Okay,
this was Oklahoma and Georgia, those two
you.
Uniforms in the Rose
this
Bowl.
Is, this
it
is,
looked
first
yeah.
of all, that was a beautiful thing. But my biggest issue was that Oklahoma jumped out so fast, and they were, like, on fire that eventually they were going to have to come back down to earth. They were, like, riding high. I mean, guys are celebrating, breaking off long runs, and then Georgia does it as well. They're starting to break off runs. But then I knew it was going to happen. Georgia's defense was going to settle down, and eventually they – and then it just became a regular game to me in the second half. It wasn't, like, a crazy
no.
game.
Well, so – we checked in and Oklahoma was up big yeah. in the first half. And so we were like, we had all the stuff to do. I had just gotten back from the East Coast. So we were doing all the stuff. And then we flipped back over and it was the confetti was coming down and the thing was over. And we were like, double overtime. Are you kidding me? Did we just miss like the almost great, the all-time greatest comeback of Rose Bowl history?
You didn't miss anything.
So we rewound as much as our TV would let us and we saw the last
one. No, Maurice is wrong. I'm sorry. I'm not rubbing it in your face. But
a blocked field goal and a wildcat play won the game.
I jumped in. It was serendipitous. I jumped in the Uber. I don't go out. You know, I have the children spread all over the San Fernando Valley. I don't go out to let my hair down very often. I don't take vacations on top of vacations. But on January 1, I said, let's start the year off right. I jumped in an Uber. I got out right as the game kicked off to meet my pal Feeney at Laurel Tavern, a great bar in Studio City, California. Anywho, as the game kicks off, then I watch it. The play, one of the more significant plays of the game was the Bulldog scratching out that field goal right before the half to make it 31-17. I said to Feeney, I don't know why that feels significant to me. That this is now a game where, as if they go into the locker room down 31-14.
They took the momentum
away. That's a big deal.
A 55-yard field goal. But you know what?
That's an all-time game, man. You're wrong if you think that doesn't
right. It's gotta
be. No, this is the thing to me. And I think this is what took it away from me was
the scoop
was good.
This with five, six minutes to go, and the Oklahoma guys running down the sideline on a fumble.
This is what took everything away from me. Baker Mayfield is the Heisman Trophy winner. Do you know how many times they threw the ball in overtime?
Ooh,
I'm hurt by that.
He said the number one.
He threw it one time, and that to me, I'm like, really? Overtime? You got the Heisman Trophy winner?
Yeah,
and you throw it one. If that's the case, coaching though, right?
That's play calling and coaching.
But yeah, that's what took it away. Like it was. Remember, the game was Baker Mayfield versus Georgia Bulldogs. It was him, and they took him away. And that's why I was like, it couldn't have been. It wasn't that good.
It was a wonderful game. I put it up there for what it's worth. I will say. I don't think either of you was even alive. Almost, maybe literally, you weren't alive. Yeah, I guess you would have been. What year?
About 83, 80.
Oh, so you weren't alive. The greatest college football game I've ever seen was the Orange Bowl, Nebraska and Miami. Bernie Kosar, the upstart Canes. Really? You remember that?
I saw that on
the replay of that?
Replay, yeah.
One of the all-time teams, Turner Gill, Mike Rozier, Irving Fryer, and beyond. Just a dynamite back and forth throughout. That's one. Remember when Chaz Weiss took over the Irish and played Reggie Bush's and Matt Leinart's USC? When they came in there, what was that?
That wasn't even close, was that odd five, odd six?
That was a great – no, people say the Fresno game. People say the Texas game. The best one was the one up in Notre Dame.
There was a game that a lot of people didn't see. You should go back and watch. I want to say it was 2005. UCLA versus Washington State. UCLA was 28 in the fourth quarter. 28 in the fourth quarter.
And they came back?
That's the one.
Pulled it out and won. 28 in the fourth quarter in the Palouse.
Oh, that's
make
a pretty
sure
good
in the
one.
Palouse. Make sure you track that one.
They'll track that one down. I promise you, you'll be ecstatic. You'll be like, there's no way.
I'm being told there were no cameras there.
There was all cameras there. I'm going to tell you why there was cameras there. Because after we won, some of our players went and were doing things to the stands, like flipping people off. And then the Pac-10 came down on us.
Well, we could do all sorts of conversation about the college football playoff. Let's save that for another day. I don't care for the way this went down. Of course, UCF should have been in this Final Four.
I don't think
we need to add more teams. Four is the right number. And I don't care if Alabama ends up winning the whole thing. All right, they dump Clemson. They shame them. Maybe they're going to take care of UGA, but that doesn't change the fact. Same thing as any other sport that we ever watch this notion that, well, how can you justify saying that Alabama, if they end up winning the whole thing, how can you then make an argument against it? Well, I don't know. Wasn't the best team in the NFL when the Patriots were undefeated? Weren't they the best team? They didn't win the Lombardi Trophy. What, did we take it back and say, yeah, but we know they were the best. Give them the Lombardi anyway.
They got to put 12 teams in then.
They
should go 12.
No.
And then you play
Alabama on their schedule had to beat Auburn to close out the regular season finale before their conference title game. They lost it. I'm sorry. You've lost control. Same as
– Auburn lost one, too, before that. So what was the difference?
I wish there were more teams, though. I wish there were more teams in the playoffs.
Here's a recent example for you. Actually, we've seen it on both sides. The Seattle Seahawks and San Francisco 49ers. What the year am I thinking? 2012, 2013?
Somewhere
when they play
there
up there in the clink and it ends with Richard Sherman with all that and the talking to Aaron Andrews after the game and everything else. You knew those were the two best teams in the NFL when they were playing each other. the 49ers didn't cry and say, well, we still should get to play for the Super Bowl because everybody knows, well, we should get it again. Well, all right, the Seahawks beat us, but put us back in. That's what everybody wants because we are the best team anyway.
Listen, that ain't the NFL. That's college. So college has its own rules, its own entity.
Dumb. But it's bogus. Then why is UCF in that division? Why are they Division 1A if you can go undefeated and still be out of the – it's ridiculous.
That's why I said you got to put 12 in. And you put – what you do is you pick every conference champion. You put them in.
They should do that.
So you think about this. You get the MAC conference champion. You get the Sun Belt. You get all those.
Everybody.
Put everybody in. So if Bama – and then you get two – was it two spots for wild card? There you have it.
I would sign off. I would sign off on a six team. I would sign off on like a five or a six team.
Why is that where you draw the line?
Because you cannot make.
Now all of a sudden it's because then you're any.
Because you don't have any. Go ahead.
Unless you do 12, you're not going to ever have enough because there's too many. If you do a five or six team, you only remember this, a power five. UCF is in the Sun Belt. They're not in the Power Five.
Yeah, so
you have to have it where every champion
put everybody in.
No, yeah. I'm a merit guy, and college football comes the closest to actually acknowledging the merit of a regular season. You don't put everybody into a tournament.
A champion, they're champions.
Let them play.
You let them play. That's what you end up wanting. That's what you're.
Here's why. Because if you're the seventh team in the country, you might say, hey, we're pretty good. People don't acknowledge how good we are, all that kind of stuff. But you have no proper claim to being the best team in the country. There's no case that could be made if you're the seventh team in the country.
No, it's not. It's
we're
not,
the best. We really are the best.
Check.
I'm not when you boil it down, it's like everybody knows that those are the best teams playing each other.
Think about
that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about rankings. I'm talking about the conference champions. So you get the Pac-12 conference champion, the Big Ten. The big
so five, right. Power five, and then
power
a wild
five.
Card.
No. You put the Sun Belt in there because that's what UCF is. They're the Sun Belt. You put every – if you're in Division One, if you're in the MAC, guess what?
All right, I'm
West,
with you.
Yeah.
You put them all
you don't
in,
need a 13-week – a 13-week college football season.
Playoff games are so much
anyway.
Better, though, than regular season
and
games.
Then you just,
think
you
about
take out
all
the preseason
of those.
And you just play regular season, and you have a conference championship game, and then from there –
When you say preseason, you mean non-conference game.
Yeah, non-conference. Right. Yeah, that's the. I mean,
okay, I'm down for that. Something like that.
I like that. All,
and then at the end, you put the best two teams that didn't win, right, in at the bottom, and then they have to play the top seed, and they have a harder schedule to go, and you just rock out that way.
The reason that's bad is because those wild card teams. Again, I know this sounds confusing, and you're all over the place, Dave, but. That the wild card would have been Alabama under this circumstance.
Yeah.
And then the toughest matchup is the number one seed as Alabama. You don't want that.
That's what you get. If you're the number one seed,
and then
that would be terrible.
Great. Yeah.
That's what you do.
All right, let's talk about the NFL playoffs, shall we? And I want to point these things out. Let's start. I want to talk about Nick Foles. And by the way, if Nate Sudfeld.
Did they bench Nick Foles?
I mean, they didn't start him the full game. I don't think they were going to.
If Nate Sudfeld throws two touchdown passes, does he start in the playoff game in the divisional
round?
He looked
better when he was playing.
Well, Doug Peterson said that, like, Nick Foles is going to start, but Sudfeld should stay warm.
Ugh. That is, I mean, just, I can't, what number one seed?
This is so Eagles. This is the most
really
Eagles
is.
Thing ever.
I want to read this to
I'm
you,
so depressed, MJD, because I really thought they were going to be good this year.
I told you what was going to happen.
What? You forecasted 11 going down?
No. Once he went down, I was like, oh, it's over.
Well, of course, yeah.
But they beat the Giants, and all the Eagles fans jumped on my back. And then they beat the Raiders, and they all jumped on my back. And then you lost to the Cowboys 6-0. It wasn't like everything just went. First it was the defense was giving up everything, and then the defense got better. Then the offense couldn't move at home at that in the cold.
It was
so
cold,
it's crazy.
Though.
Think about this. You're from Philly. You practice, and you can't play in the cold?
We talked about this 1 week ago, and you were a cold denier. I said to you, the advantage that the Eagles have over the rest of the NFC.
They don't, though. It's not an advantage because they can't play in the cold.
Apparently not, but I would think.
If they had Carson Wentz in there, they would be able to play in the cold.
We can't do that. We can't, you know, we can't do it.
But everything changes now. Everything.
We
talked about it 1 week ago, and now everything's out of the way. The regular season, we have the full body of evidence now, and I have no ability to figure out who's going to the Super Bowl.
I can tell you right now. So this is what
you said a week ago. You said the Rams.
This is my thing.
You're still going Rams, Jags?
No question.
No question.
The Saints, like we talked about this, Shaq, on this show, the Saints versus the Panthers, to beat a team three times is easier than to lose to a team. Or,
it's the other, yeah, right. I love the old, the most
it's
vapid,
hard to beat a team
among the most vapid cliches in sports is it's hard to beat the same team three times. Yeah, you know what's harder to do is to lose twice to a team and then say, oh, yeah, the third time will be the charm for us.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I have the Saints.
Although that being said, when the Ravens were hanging around and I thought, Steelers, if we have to play that Flacco for a third time, he's going to get us, isn't he?
But so
that's going to break my heart.
So this is the thing. So the Saints versus the Panthers, I have the Saints coming out of that one because again they beat them at home handily. They beat them in New Orleans handily. What's the purpose? You should do it again. As long as Kamara stays healthy,
I think you're right. I think like we talked about it, the Super Bowl rep is from the South.
Yeah. No. We didn't. I said the Rams.
We did talk about this. So you said the Rams. I said.
So listen. So what am I? So what I'm saying. So
I don't know
you
about
go,
those Falcons. So though. I'm not ready to throw dirt on them.
I'm not either. But Atlanta has to travel all the way to the West Coast to come play the Rams at home. Their defense is playing better in the pass, not so much against the run. And it seems like the Rams have kind of found their mojo running the ball, and they're very creative in how they attack. And the key is, Sean McVay said this in our coach's interview after the game, is that the Falcons' defense, they play the same defense that the Seahawks do, that all these teams, if they've already played, they play the same defense. So we know how to attack. We've played this defense, this style of defense. We know how to attack it. So if the Falcons can't score 30, it's going to be an issue. And think about that. The Falcons haven't scored 30 in a long time.
Yeah, no, I'm not lying.
I don't understand. The sum has not equaled the parts for the Falcons in 2017. I don't get why this Super Bowl runner-up has not been – better but I've been on that train all year and they never turned the corner, although now they did get the double digits and they are in January. So if that's a bad season, then maybe I don't know, can they turn it around a little bit here?
Because to me it's you're in week 17 and you're fighting for your playoff spot and you beat a team handily. I mean, they beat the
Panthers.
Yeah,
they beat a good team.
Yeah, but
was fighting for something themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I still say the Rams come out of that one. So
let me tell you this.
Yeah, I think
so. Hold on, wait. So I'm about to finish. I got to finish because you got to hear this.
All right.
So the Rams, they go to Minnesota.
Okay.
Right. And the Rams coming out of that game where it was 7-7 in the fourth quarter, and they had ample
opportunities.
This has
been a revenge game in the making.
That's the divisional round game.
That loss.
Listen to me. There's a thing with McVay when he loses to a team. They start game planning weekly, like little chunks of their game plan is kind of tailored toward that team. It happens all the time. That's why the Seahawks, when they play the Seahawks, it was so bad because they had doing little things to tweak until they played them. So, all right, so you go up to Minnesota. They're excited to play them. Minnesota's excited. But their offense has been, you know, their defense has been phenomenal. Their offense has been So, you know, I'm going to be biased. I got the Rams winning that one in Minnesota. But the Saints go to Philly. And the Saints have never been an outdoors team until this year, it seems like, because they can run the ball. And they have a great offensive line.
They did go up to Philly and beat them.
2013.
Beat the Chip Kelly Eagles.
And remember, they went to Buffalo this year when Buffalo was rolling and ran all over them. I mean, Drew Brees threw like 3 yards. Mm-hmm. And they were just running the ball down their throat. And I don't know if Nick Foles, with that defense that the Saints have and Cameron Jordan, those guys, I don't know if Nick Foles will be able to beat them. So, sorry, Colleen. So now we got Rams.
Saints at Rams.
Yes.
For the NFC crown.
Saints at Rams.
And that is the scariest thing for the Rams because the Rams beat them without both their corners.
Yeah.
And the Saints came in there and didn't want to run the ball. But I don't care. I still got the Rams.
I'll tell you, man. That's an interesting path you just laid out there. Plausible, certainly. I think it's the Saints. If I had to
– Really?
If I have to put my neck out there, I'll go with the Saints. Of course, as I keep saying, I'm rooting for the Vikings because
– I am too.
I don't know that I even – I mean, it'd be neat if they got to the Super Bowl, but the NFC title game, if it's in Minnesota, it's just going to be the most fun atmosphere
in the
world.
It's going to be so much pressure, though.
So much pressure.
So much.
We haven't been to a Super Bowl since 77. Go win on your home field. That's going to be – it's not necessarily advantageous.
The thing that stinks, though, for them is, like, it's not like they're going to be surrounded by their fans in the Super Bowl. Like,
yeah,
because a lot of times, like, fans
– oh, they'll find their way
so
in there.
Expensive.
I know. They'll find a way in.
If you're in Minnesota, you have to pay for travel. So, you know, they're going to go. And
yeah,
it's going to be
–
first of all, yeah,
I hope
it's going to be, like, negative 20 degrees outside when we go up.
I wrote down as many of these fun things that I could come up with off the top of my head. A 98 title game rematch, the Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons. Remember, that was the Gary Anderson missing the kick game. We could see that. Minnesota against anybody in the NFC title game hosted by Minnesota for the reasons I say. You win the game. Whatever. And by the way, whoever, if they are hosting the title game, this would be the move. I don't care. Tell this one to McVay or anybody else or Peyton if the Saints are walking in there. The visiting team, when they run out onto the field for the title game, should come out with their luggage. Like, we're staying the 2 weeks. They should just run out with their luggage in their hands. Just put it down. Like, we're staying here. We're after this game. We got nothing to do for 2 weeks. There's our
what
luggage right
jinx
there.
That would
Wouldn't
be.
That be the greatest move ever?
That would be
it would be hilarious.
Saints in Minnesota would be a Brett Favre '09 NFC title game rematch. Remember that one?
Ooh.
Minnesota and the Rams, they've met seven times in the playoffs in the Coliseum back in 1977. It was supposed to be a home field advantage for the Rams because typically they had to go up to the Met to play in the frigid conditions. So instead, this was going to be a home field advantage. Instead, it poured rain and was a mud bowl. It was a fascinating game to go back and look at. On the AFC side, you could have Buffalo. You do have Buffalo. I'm sorry, you could get Buffalo and Tennessee, Music City Miracle rematch. KC at New England would be a completion of the circle that the season starts up in Foxborough.
Whoa.
Maybe they could end the Patriots run there.
That's crazy.
Pitt at Pats, that would be the fourth title game between those two teams this century. The Patriots are 3-0, and of course, James Harrison against the Steelers would be juicy. Jags in Tennessee, that's a 99
it is.
AFC title
that's
game.
That's crazy.
That's the year, I tell people this all the time, you said it earlier, they beat the Jags. The Jags beat everybody, everyone, but the Tennessee Titans that year. They lost three times to them.
Yep.
Oh.
How crazy
That's
is that?
Brutal.
Three times to the same team.
Yep.
Brutal.
Loco.
They're 14-2, get to the playoffs, 1-2, and then lose to the
I love that the Bills are in, by the way.
Me too.
All those celebrations and seeing all the fans at the airport. Like,
yeah, that was crazy.
That's
memories.
Awesome.
Yeah, I assume. See, Maurice, I wonder. That's I assume you've been in the locker room and it's been touch and go, and then you find your way in and the locker room goes wild. I'll tell you, there's nothing like that for a fan. Those are memories that you will have for the rest of your life. And it's weird because it's super specific, and so you can't recreate those. Well, this was a big game and we won it. That's a great level, but when you're watching other games and you're waiting for the outside,
and you're just hoping
out of town score, and you need help, and you get it. That Tyler Boyd, Andy did it on fourth and twelve. Crazy
Buffalo Bill fans sending money to charity.
That's so amazing. Like,
I
love the postseason.
Now, how about these for Super Bowls? How about Andy Reid Bowl? We talked about
one.
Chiefs and Eagles would be great. The Keystone Bowl would be excellent. Philly and
not going to happen, probably.
Well, yeah, that one's not going to happen. Let's hope
one half
gets there. Super Bowl 51 rematch. I'd sign off on that. Patriots and Falcons. That would be – you could do worse than that, right?
That's true.
If they get hot, if the Falcons win three games, now you would say, well, that's not a very good game. But if the Falcons run three off here, you'd say, uh-oh. This is a different Matt Ryan.
I just can't see the Falcons doing that, though.
I kind of can't. Then how about this? Look at all these rematches available, Super Bowl rematches out there. Kansas City and Minnesota, they played in Super Bowl IV. That's the last time, believe it or not, the Chiefs. Chiefs have been good more often than not in the last 50 years. They haven't been to a Super Bowl since 69.
Wow.
Or is that 70? Either way, I guess that's 70. But either way, forever ago. Steelers and Vikings, the first ring that the Steelers won was against Fran Tarkenton in New Orleans in the rain, Super Bowl IX. I'd love to see that rematch on the Vikings home field.
Yeah.
The Steelers and Rams played each other in Super Bowl 14, and then shots from that were taken and used in Heaven Can Wait when Warren Beatty was playing quarterback for the Rams. Actually, they didn't take the shots from that, but that is the ongoing war from Hollywood on the city of Pittsburgh sports teams. I don't know why they have it, but they do.
Weird.
It is weird because
yeah.
you have Heaven.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Heaven Can Wait is a movie. Warren Beatty wants to be a quarterback. It's a whole thing. He's a ghost, the whole thing. But anyway, in the end, the Rams, he takes the Rams to play the Steelers in the Super Bowl, and he wins the game in overtime for the Rams. That's the Steelers losing. Why'd you take the Steelers? I don't know, Hollywood, just because you wanted to hurt our feelings. Black Sunday is it's a movie around Super Bowl X using actual game footage in which terrorists come and attack the Orange Bowl while the Steelers are playing the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Sudden Death.
Missed that one.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is there at the igloo when the Penguins are playing for the Stanley Cup. Terrorists come and attack that. That's right. How about you know where the Batman was shot when Bane's out on the field? Right. We know that they call it Gotham, but that's Pittsburgh. They're wearing black and gold.
That one's
they
there?
Blow that city up.
You know why that one was there?
Why?
Because one of the owners for the Pittsburgh Steelers makes movies. So
I don't care for so what? Still, right. You don't blow up Heinz Field.
You see what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
Even in The Natural, when Roy Hobbs hits the home run, who does he beat in the one game play? Who do you hit that home run off? The Pittsburgh Pirates. That's who he beat. Want to argue with me now about the ongoing Hollywood
war? You're really keeping score over there, Shaq.
All right, let's get to the next one, Shaq, because you're getting all emotional right now.
You could have the Rams and Titans. That was the one-yard short play by Kevin Dyson. The Rams and Patriots, that launched the Patriots dynasty.
Yeah. That could happen. Rematch.
Patriots and Panthers, no Jake Delhomme. Replace Delhomme. It's still Tom Brady on one side, but this would be Superman. That's quite an upgrade. That's Clark Kent to Superman level. Change there, and then you could have the Patriots playing the Eagles. The game, one of the most forgotten Super Bowls of the last 25 years, right? Nobody ever thinks about that game.
Nobody except for an entire city of people, Shaq, in Philly.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course, the greatest of all scenarios is what the Wolf touched on a moment ago.
What?
The Bills and the Vikings for the Super Bowl combined 0-8 in the Super Bowl. Somebody, by definition, would be required to win that game. What a fun one that would be.
What if they tied that one?
Yeah, it's enough already. Just let them both have – just split the Lombardi.
How awful.
Give it to both their fans. They're both
get
their fan base.
Get all out.
But anyway, I think those are fun. All right, what else should we talk about?
We
got to
do the coaching vacancies.
Okay.
Oh.
The bigger vacancy to me is, as a football fan, is who's going to go up into the Monday Night Football booth with John Gruden departing. I'm going to throw one name out here. I hope you're listening there, ESPN. What about Maurice Jones-Drew?
I'm here.
I mean, that would be neat.
That would be awesome.
You know what? Let's go the extra mile and make it a three-man booth like it used to be. Maurice and Sean McDonough and Damashek.
Ooh. Let it rock.
That'd be fun. Why is that funny to you, the Wolf? What's funny about that?
No, it's just it brings a smile to my face.
That's a great idea.
Uh-huh.
I'll say smart things, insightful things.
Totally. I think it'd be great.
Can we get to the coach of
if Cosell's allowed to do it, why not Damashek? Cosell has any more business up in that booth than I do.
You got to put it out in the universe.
I just
did. That's the first step.
I just did, and the universe responded with cackling, personified by the Wolf. More cat.
My neighbors hate me.
I hope you get Sudfeld. Take it. Sudfeld and
Foles. I can't get any worse. All right.
Indiana, right?
Sudfeld, yeah.
Oh, that's the Shaq. You're going to get Shaq.
I can't believe they're the number one seed.
Okay.
This is what we're doing.
I have to. Okay, I got something for you guys.
You'll get them next year.
I was laughed at
yesterday. Stop it. Stop.
I was laughed at yesterday on Aftermath when I said the Arizona Cardinals was the best job to have. And people were like, are you kidding me? Coach Billick comes on there. He goes, I want a quarterback. And so I thought about it. I was like, you know, I could be wrong. So I went home, and it bothered me so much last night that I was thinking about it. And I'm like, all right. Derek Carr, great quarterback, great young quarterback, just went 6-10, got his coach fired. I don't want to be a part of that because guess what? There's expectations when you have Derek Carr quarterback. 6-10 is not
That's
good
true.
Enough. Right? So you got to be a 10-win. As soon as you get there, you got to be 10 wins. That's what they're expecting. Now, yes, Gruden may come in there for a couple of years, whatever it may be. But still, the expectation is going to be 10 wins every time you say
what you're talking about is the Marvin Lewis effect. Legitimately.
Yeah.
Low expectations equal longer tenure, apparently, in some situations.
Gives you at least a chance to put your mark on the team.
I think ownership and I think they talk
and
that
they
talk
great
until
guys
they
on
actually.
Defense,
yeah, so you have that and Khalil Mack that are going to expect you to turn that around. The Colts, they're saying, well, if Andrew Luck is playing, you know, that's the best job. Well, there's expectation there.
Yeah.
There's Andrew Luck. for those first 3 years, went to the playoffs three times and went one round better every year. So guess what? If he's playing, now, we're expecting the playoffs.
And that division, too, with Deshaun Watson back, obviously the Jaguars.
That's a tough situation.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You're going in again with high expectation in a tough environment.
Can we bring Sessler in here, by the way? I see him behind the glass. I'd like to get his thoughts.
The Chicago Bears, right? And that's what scares me more than anybody. What? Because they use the two words that every coach hates. They have young talent and they have potential. Those are the two words. I'm staying as far away from that one as possible because you have a young quarterback who –
But you don't have an answer. You have no answer.
I'm about to give you an answer.
Okay.
I say the Arizona Cardinals because the Arizona Cardinals have all the pieces around. You have a running back in David Johnson who hurt his wrist, not his legs.
Okay.
You have a defense with Chandler Jones. If they can stay healthy, they have Chandler Jones. They had Golden. They have Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Peterson. You have the linebacker, Buchanan. You have pieces to build around there, right?
Don't have receivers.
Hold on. You can go get a receiver.
Larry Fitzgerald's done. Chandler
Jones is older. We don't know if he's done.
All right, but he's –
Chandler Jones
who's
is older.
Who's your QB if you're the Cardinals?
You can go get a QB and have a receiver learn from Larry Fitzgerald.
I didn't know they could go get one.
Well, you can get one in free agency. We talked about the guys that are going to be in free agency.
I guess you could attract Kirk, but that's not as – Kirk is going to –
He's going to go for the money, and they have cash.
I know, but they're legitimately five teams, I suspect, right now that think we're going to chase Kirk and we're going to go after him real hard.
How do you know Arizona's not one of them? How do you know Arizona's not one of them?
I'm saying, but there are a lot of teams that are probably positioning things in such a way that –
Hey, Sessler.
What am I doing
here? I wanted to – here he is. Look who it is. It's Mark Sessler, everybody.
I
wanted to say Happy New Year to you. I received your tweet.
I knew this.
I felt bad for you legitimately.
What tweet was it?
He just said – it was supposed to be, you know, it was like faux Happy New Year. You've been through a tough stretch because I'm a Steelers fan. And I was, you know, I was looking for my parade for correctly predicting 13-3. But as I said before the game kicked off in Hines on Sunday, for real, all the talk and everything else, the Steelers did not field a real football team on Sunday, and yet that was not enough for the Browns to get by them. Where do you come down on this?
Well, they're not the only one that didn't field a real football team that day.
Where do you come down on Hugh and the decision, apparently? Yep, he's our guy. Do you like this? Are you uneasy about it, or are you downright against the move?
I'm a little emotionally dead. Let's start there. But I am a little concerned because – it feels like the 18th iteration of general manager did not pick coach. But maybe, if anything, it gives Dorsey more rope to blame someone else. We know that Hugh Jackson likes to blame a lot of people on a weekly basis. I had a lot of hope for Hugh Jackson. I'm a little, depressed about the whole thing.
There was so much made about Detroit Lions going 0-16 that year, right? It was like all over the news.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much of anything about Cleveland.
Under the radar, but it's kind of not a big.
But it almost feels like they've gone 0-16 a couple years now.
But
the reason I think Sessler,
I'm interested in what Cleveland Browns fan thinks. Long suffering. You say best gig available? Isn't it kind of clear? You talk about low expectations, and you talk about pieces that you get to walk through the door and take over.
Top five picks.
The only thing that that undermines it is them keeping Hugh Jackson. Because if they would start anew, they basically then take Josh Rosen. But now that's already in question because you have Deshaun Kaiser sitting there, who I don't think is an abject bust. Do you? Sessler?
I don't think he's your starter next year.
You don't want him to be your starter. All right. But either way, if you take Josh Rosen, now it's already got this weird thing on it that he says, I don't want to be there.
Well, he's not the first guy to say that.
I know.
So let's not blow that out of proportion. I mean, Eli and his dad said it. Eli had his dad
say it. Yeah, and they forced the trade.
Josh Rosen's saying it by himself. It's not like Josh Rosen's dad's like, I don't want my son. Archie Manning came out and was like, I don't want my son playing for the San Diego Chargers. Like,
is it too crazy to say that a 21-year-old kid, bright as Josh Rosen is, that if he is going, we're going to build this franchise around you? Is it too crazy to hand him the keys already and say,
who is the guy you kind of
– do you really believe that?
No question.
If you really buy that,
I believe.
Then don't you go to him and say, who do you think should be the head coach here? Or at minimum, who should be the OC?
That's a lot of power.
He doesn't have that power. He's 21.
But you know what? They tried everything else. Why not try that?
don't know.
Anyways, thanks for
condolences to you, Sessler.
Thank you.
It's over. It's over now. Now it's New Year's.
No,
not to worry about it.
And now they have two of the top four draft picks.
Yeah, you're good. You should win now.
And Myles Garrett, who was
if he can stay healthy. Boy.
We'll Myles see. Garrett looked terrific against – he embarrassed Villanueva a few times.
If he can stay healthy.
Just ran past
If he can stay healthy, he'll be fine.
Really put a hand on Myles Garrett
you
a couple
don't, They've tried to build around the quarterback over and over, and if you don't find one, it's going to be 2-14, and the whole house is going to get cleared out for the 18th time of my adulthood.
All right. we barely got to all of it. There he goes. Sessler's out. He's a mic drop. He literally did a mic drop for a microphone that he's about to put back on his head.
If I was him, I could
have
worked with
seconds.
Greg, with Rosenthal.
You couldn't work with him.
Because why
Rosie's
why
rapping us
why
right
do you
now.
Wanna, why do you want to like work with him? He's always on his high horse. Tom Brady's always the best quarterback. And he's got to sit across from him.
He's just smiling ear to ear right
Adrian's
now.
Adrian's my guy. I don't know. They might win. Maybe I can see that. Chiefs might beat them.
You see, like, he plays that kind of game, and then you're just sitting there as a Browns fan.
Yeah, we'll be lucky to get by the Chiefs. We don't actually have anybody good on the team.
That's probably why they're on separate ends of the desk.
Where do you sit?
Right there, in your seat, actually. All right. That's where Wes normally
Let's
is.
Go, Maurice. It's
well,
time
Colleen's
for you and me to go.
Cheating on us, and so is MVP.
I'm in MVP open pod relationship.
Engaged now.
Congrats,
Thanks,
Emma.
The Wolf. Excellent work, as always. Make sure you check her out on Good Morning Football, the weekend edition, the Around the NFL podcast, the power rankings, so on and so forth. Maurice Jones-Drew calling those Rams games.
That's right.
They're about to get even more important for you, Maurice. Power rankings, all the rest of it. Players only. Don't try to cut me off with that music. You think 2018 is any different?
They think
now I see Hanzus. What's going on? I came up the second floor. I was ready to spin. I'm sitting here listening to this schnook flap his gums.
Is that
who's he think he is?
Is that how he talks?
That's how he talks. That's exactly how
I know that.
All right. Guess what? It's been a thin slice of heaven, everybody.
We're done here. Bye.